heard, and many of you have heard over the years, the statement full gospel. It's a little bit amusing in one way and yet tragic in another, that you have to realize the enemy has his hand in such a thing, because full gospel is not just the Pentecostal experience, and that's what it's attached to in these days. You see, Peter preached Pentecost. He preached the first great Pentecostal sermon that was ever preached. And he told those that were about him, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins." And he said, "Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And Peter preached divine healing. In fact, he had such an unusual gift that the very shadow of Peter passing over men healed them. And no one preached the second coming of Christ any more than the Apostle Peter preached it. And yet Peter probably never preached the full gospel in his entire lifetime. You see, Paul tells us in Colossians that God gave him a dispensation to fulfill or fill up or complete the Word of God. And you see, without Paul's revelation, you never have a full gospel. Peter never seemed to understand deeply the message that is so precious to our hearts tonight. And in his letter, he wrote how our beloved brother Paul has written many things hard to be understood, which they who are unlearned and unstable do rest, as they also do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Tonight, I'm going to give a lesson on the most important subject that can ever be discussed with a child of God in this age and dispensation of grace. I'm going to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I'll read the first 8 verses. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, our living ones, our living creatures, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, 4 times in these first 6 verses. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And this will be my theme, especially tonight. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness, and the margin says, the righteous acts of the saints. Now, note that phrase, she hath made herself ready. There are a number of very interesting questions that rise as we think along this line. When we think of God's precious people and the gross darkness that God's children are in concerning the purpose of God in this age and dispensation, our hearts ache a little bit to realize that the devil has so confused God's best by giving many God's good. You see, if the devil can't keep you from being saved, he'll keep you from every good thing that there is for your life as a child of God. He'll keep you back. He'll keep you from knowing the truth. And there's a lot of people, they say, I know the truth, and yet their lives will go out and support other than the truth. Now you see, that don't make sense. That don't make sense in the natural. If I know a business is over here on the corner, and I do know that that business will fail in the ultimate of that business, then I am a fool if I put my money and my time in that business. Isn't that a simple deduction? You know that. Well, now, if you know this Bible, you do know that one day God will judge the secrets of men by Paul's gospel. In the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, we find that there's only one foundation that can ever be laid, and that is Christ Jesus. If you're saved, he's your foundation. But then all of us build on that foundation. And there are two types of works that we build. We build gold, silver, and precious stone, or we build wood, hay, and stubble. Now wood, hay, and stubble can be put together in such a way that you can make a beautiful dwelling out of it. You can paint it up, it'll look good, but it won't withstand fire. But you see, gold, silver, and precious stone are brought to their purity by fire. When you have pure silver, you have pure gold, you have a fine diamond, they have already been through the most intense heat that there is. Gold speaks of deity. Silver speaks of redemption. Precious stones speak of God's precious people. I'm reminded again, I can hear dear old Brother Copley say it yet, talking about some big fellow that was preaching a legal message, preaching other than the truth, and he said, that's just a big wind blowing in a big haystack. And when it's all over, that's what it'll amount to. You see, you have to build according to the Word of God. You can't just build by reason. Your reason is not right. Your reason will trap you. I was speaking, and one of the dear sisters is here tonight. I was telling about how years ago I knew a pilot, and he was flying a mission over Europe in World War II. He was flying out in a fog. There were clouds. He said he began to get a feeling that his left wing was low. He said he raised it. He said he flew along a little while and he got the feeling that wing was low, and he raised it again. And it happened three or four times, and suddenly he realized that he was hanging in his harness. And he knew he was flying upside down. And he quickly looked at his instrument panel, and there he realized what had happened. And he righted it, and he said, I know I'd have lost my life if I hadn't suddenly realized what was wrong and got back with my instrument panel. Now, that's the way it is. You see, you can fly according to your feelings, and you can preach according to your feelings, and you can do it according to your feelings. But, dear hearts, your feelings can betray you. I've come to realize that only one thing must determine my life, and that's this. And if I have to go it alone, I'll have the book. I'd rather be in here and have one, two, whatever God sent, than to have Ichabod written over the door and have a building 50 times as big as this crowded to the walls. You see, one day you're going to face it. Now here, in this interesting thing, we are made to ask, who is this who makes herself ready? This says, the Lamb's wife. And we ask ourselves, well, who's the Lamb? John 1:29. You see, John was used to introduce him to the world. He might have said, here's the great Son of God. He might have introduced him in many ways and would have been right. He could have said, here's the Creator of everything. Here is the third person of the Trinity. He could have said many, many things, but you notice what the Holy Ghost anointed him to say. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So who is the Lamb? Why, that's Jesus Christ. He's the one who gave his life. And here we read that he's going to have a wife. A lamb is going to get married. Now, isn't that a thrilling thing? Did you ever see a lamb get married? I could say something, Faye, but I won't. But, you see, we have to become aware of this, that if the Lamb marries, and if it's mentioned the Lamb marries, it doesn't say the Son of God marries. It doesn't say the Creator marries, though he's all of this. This says a Lamb is going to get married. So we deduct and we know that our imagination is sanctified imagination. If a lamb gets married, he's going to marry somebody that's like him. And I'll tell you, you don't see a very much of a lamb-like nature in the people of God in these days. You know what a lamb is, don't you? Gentle, kind, easily persuaded, easy to go astray. Oh, a lamb needs a shepherd so badly. There's just something about not having the right kind of a shepherd that you'll go astray. I remember Brother Foster years ago, he was telling, there was somebody got up and she said, she ran around like some saints that supposed to see the grace of God run around. And she and her husband, and they were here and they were there, and every exciting thing they went. And she said, I'm just as free as a bird. Brother Foster got up and said, well, I want you to know a bird needs a roost. And he does. If a bird don't have a roost, you make sure somebody's going to get him. When them animals. So, lamb-like. Now, I'll confess, I don't see much of the lamb characteristics among the people of God today, do you? Paul spoke of biting and devouring one another, setting in judgment on one another. No one knows how sweet Larry's testimony was to my heart when he said, I found the love of God in this place. Made me think I was gaining some ground. Now, if one of you had said that, it wouldn't have been quite like that. But you see, he came in a stranger. He was here about three Sunday nights or four. And then he said, the love of God that's in this place. Well, that's what I'd rather have you have than all the exciting things that you can have to be put together. You see, if I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm nothing. If I understand all mysteries, if I give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm sounding brass. I'm tinkling cymbals. I'm just like clanging some old barley lids together. I make a noise, but it don't convey. And so we want the love of God. It makes me feel that I'm on the right path. I'm getting something done that's pleasing to Him. And so several questions face us here. Who is this Lamb's wife? And how does she become His wife? And where does she come from? Is she any particular nationality? Is she the daughter of some great world-famed potentate? Is she imported from some far-off place? How did she learn of the possibility that she could be the Lamb's wife, or even the probability of a union so great and sublime? Now let me tell you something. This may stagger some of you, but I'm going to tell you. When you were born again, potentially, you were set up to be the bride of Christ. A little baby in the natural, a little girl. Now, some of you mothers are sitting here holding little girls. Do you know why she was really born? To be a bride. If she wasn't, why did you get her a little dolly? You started training her to be a bride. You got her a broom. You got her a little toy iron. You got her a little stove, little dishes. What are you doing? Tell you what you're doing in those tender times. You're impressing that little thing that she is to be a bride and a mother. You may not understand the lesson yourself, but that's exactly what you're doing. Why is it when a little boy is born buying guns? On my mind. Get them guns before they know and they chew on it, cut their teeth on it. See, we're teaching them something. We may not realize it, but we're teaching them something. We're impressing them with something. And so here, you think of this. All of these questions are so vital, and they're interesting, and they challenge our thinking, that we should want to answer them. And only one source of information can ever give your heart the true answer to what I'm saying. And that's this Bible. You can't go someplace else and find it. Now there's one party that will tell you the 144 are the bride. There's someone else that will tell you that the whole church is the bride. Some will tell you one thing and some will tell you another. But none of these things fit the Word of God. You see, when you come up with the answer, you want to make sure you're in the Word of God. Now let's see what Paul, and only Paul, could really tell us. Oh, it's all through the Bible, but only Paul was made to see the truth and write it down as it is. In 2 Corinthians 11:1, I want to read a portion to you. 2 Corinthians 11:1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, or with the very jealousy of God. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now this proves conclusively that while the whole church has been espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was in the mind of this apostle to the church, this housekeeper, and that's what the word dispensation, you see it comes from the Greek word domestic, a housekeeper. Paul was the housekeeper of this age. His message is that which puts the house in order and gets it ready for the Christ. And Paul certainly realized that there was that possibility that they could be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. Now listen. How did you get saved? By grace? Through faith? Not of works? How did you get filled with the Spirit? Oh, Brother Hill, I finally prayed him into a corner and he just had to fill me. No, you didn't. You didn't get filled because you hollered, glory, 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 glory. That isn't the reason you got filled. You got filled the very moment that you were open by faith. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You see, a lot of people, they're going to get good. Now they get saved. They couldn't get saved without Jesus Christ, but now they're going to get good. I don't have to try to be good. I am good. Oh, you say now, Brother Hill, you're just bragging. Yes, on him. Yes, I was created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm not any more holy by fasting 40 days. I don't fast to try to get him to do what he wants to do. It's just like shutting that window down and getting in here and pleading, "Oh, wind, please come in. Throw the wind up and it'll come in." Now, this is God's way. And so, you see, here we see a message to all the church, which is his body, according to Ephesians 1:23 and 24. And it's the fullness of him which filleth all in all, or literally is filling all things. Do you realize one day that which is filling us is going to fill everything? Isn't that wonderful? He's going to fill all and in all. God is the fullness, and he fills all and in all. One day this universe will be crammed with God. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. It's going to be a wonderful time, but right now he's getting some folk ready to run it with him. You can qualify if you want to. Did you know that? Now let's go on. This second verse shows that all believers do not yield to this divine espousal or the process which goes to make them ready for the bridehood. You see, if the devil can just channel you off, sometimes my heart gets heavy. I was telling the ladies yesterday morning, I was speaking about Brother Ford, and I remember... And I was talking to someone, and I said, "Well, the difference in Bob Hatch and C.C. Ford was this. When God put Bob Hatch on the spot, he said yes." I'll tell you, one of the thing that turned Brother Ford's footsteps another way. He came to my home one day, and he said, "Brother Hill, I see the bride. I see what you're teaching. I can understand there's going to be a bride. But," he said, "you know, Brother Hill, I'm going to be noble. And I realize I can't reach a lot of people if I insist on that. And I believe that the Lord would have me sacrifice my place in the bride so I can reach sinners." Now, I don't have to reach one sinner. I don't have to be anxious about sinners. I love sinners. They get saved in this church all the time. I don't believe that you'll ever find a man that will preach salvation any clearer than I preach it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you a little further than that if you stick around. And I know what Jesus wants above everything. I know what he's been waiting for. I know what he's longing for. I know one day, just like in the natural, he's going to have a bride. And if you think he isn't interested in that, you don't know the Word of God. And you don't know the heart of God. I'll say what I said again yesterday morning. What would you rather have? One big hope diamond or a bushel full of chips? Now you know what you'd rather have, wouldn't you? You're not that big a fool. If I'll put a bushel of chips out here, and I could, and put the hope diamond out, and I said, "Now you can have either one of them you want. You just reach over and pick up that one diamond if you've got any sins." And she was like that old boy that you'd offer him a dime and a nickel, he'd take the nickel. kept it up, kept it up, kept it up. So they was going to show him what a fool he was. Offered him a nickel and a dime. He took the nickel. A little later, he said, you know, if I'd take that dime, they'd stop doing that. He wasn't a fool. But I'll tell you, in this, you'd be a fool to pass it up. So, Paul has fears for them. And you'll notice it was the false teachers that were turning them away from the glorious truth, the childlike simplicity, their virgin purity, and such like. You see, they were getting drawn off like Brother Ford, and they were not making themselves ready. Now let's go back to our text. Let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I'm glad to see you back, George. Bless your heart. I hope you haven't lost out too much. I hope you haven't. You see, you haven't been getting ready. And God can be sweet in his mercies. I wish the Lord would have come 5 years ago. But some of you better be glad he didn't. The Song of Solomon says, 6:9, it said there are 70 queens, 80 concubines, virgins without number, but it said, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the choice one of her that bare her. Who is it that bore us? Grace is the mother of us all, according to the book of Galatians. See? And there's going to be some choice ones of our mother, Grace. Grace is going to be able to work her entire purpose in the lives of some saints. It just will be you. And so, there is a choice one. Then in Revelation 5:9, I'm going to read this. Pardon me. And I hope my voice is back by Sunday morning. You'll pray for me. I'm going to read from the 8th verse of this 5th chapter. Now here we have the living ones and the 24 elders. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts are living ones. They're synonymous with the living creatures, the cherubim and the seraphim of the Old Testament. The four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Shows they're all filled with the praises and the music of heaven. You know what the music of heaven's going to be? It's going to be the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're full of it. Oh, I'll be so glad if Jesus tarries when I can get in that church across the way. This is the reason. There are many of you that if you aren't careful, you're going to get out of, we won't call it habit. I don't like that. I hope it isn't habitual with you. I hope it's a part of your life to come to these altars and worship. You see, that's the great thing of your life, and that's one of the things that's missing from churches. You know, you go in most churches and someone goes down the altar, they'll say, well, I thought she was saved. The greatest thing a Christian can do is worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and you learn that. They're full. Each one of them has a harp. Each has a golden vial full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now notice this, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on or over the earth. Now, this shows where she comes from. She is Irish, though she's part Irish. She isn't English, though she's part English. She isn't German, though she's part German. She isn't white, though she's part white. She isn't black, though she's part black. You see, it's every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people is going to make up that bride. Now, if you never preached it, you're not going to help make up that bride. I'll tell you, if you never fish, you'll never catch the fish if the pool is full of them. And the reason I catch fish, I go fishing. Is that the way we do it, Tom? That's one of the reasons, isn't it? I never caught one standing out here in the middle of Broadway. I could get out there and get the best fishing equipment there is and just fish and fish and fish and never catch one. And I know that. Now note what we said. His wife hath made herself ready. Now note who it is that makes her ready. She makes herself ready. In other words, you've got to take the steps. You've got to appropriate what God has provided for you. You've got to believe the truth. You've got to lay a hold of the truth. You have to go where the truth goes and where it'll take you. You can't go off with someone that don't preach the truth and be made ready. You just can't. It won't make you ready. I commend you to the Lord, to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. Oh, Brother Hill, I just go there, and what I don't want, I leave, and what I do want, I take. Well, we have dogs that get out here and clean our garbage can every night. We don't fight them. I don't want to eat out of a garbage can. Do you? Oh, that sure shook some of you. Now, precious hearts, I'm trying to be tender and kind, but I'm trying to make it as pointed as I can. I'm deliberately trying to make it pointed to you. I want you to see the difference. I want you to realize that you'll never get ready for the best that God has unless you take the instructions that He alone can give you to get ready. How did Esther get ready? How did Rebecca get ready? All through the Word of God, that's the way it is. They put themselves in the hands of He who is represented by the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will never give you anything but the truth. A dear brother told me that someone said to him, well, now I know what this is what it amounts to, and he's sitting here tonight. I know what the Word of God says, but the Lord, the Spirit of God, speaks to me, and that is above the Bible. Well, the Pope said that a long time ago. Let me tell you, there's nothing above this book.
This is the unchangeable word that the Holy Ghost inspired. And let's listen to this. If we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be cursed. Now you just know that this is the Word of God. And everything is in here that's needed. And so, I'm going to have to move along. I may have to take 2 nights of this. Now, she made herself ready. Now, when did she do it? She certainly had to do it before the wedding day, didn't she? Can you imagine her trying to get ready the day of her wedding? There'll be a lot of folk that'll try to get ready, but it'll be too late. They'll be like the 5 foolish virgins. They tried to get ready, but it was too late. Isn't that right? When did she begin? Well, it's just like these little babies. They begin as soon as you put a little dolly in their arms. Soon as she realized, soon as she heard the message, as soon as she was espoused, she began to get ready. And she heard the proposal and accepted it. Listen, I can tell you, there was a day in my life, away back yonder, when one day I felt like the Lord proposed to me as much as any man ever proposed to a woman. I felt like he spoke to my heart and said, "Now look, I want to marry you. Will you accept me?" I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't go the way of the crowds, not the way of the cloud. I took off with old Eliezer. I got on that old camel, and I'll tell you, he's been a rough critter. But we've made progress. And I feel like Isaac is out in the fields meditating and just about ready for us. Don't you? I'm sure of that. Now notice, she is arrayed, according to this description, in fine linen, clean and white. And it says, these are the righteous acts of the saints. Now I want you to notice something. This is not my righteousness, but what he does in me. I can yield to him, or I can yield to me. And there's a lot of ways that I can yield to me. You see, I can come in here, and because I don't happen to have my hair combed just like that other hussy, I feel like I'm real righteous. And I can come in here and I can say, "Well, now wait a minute. I had a man in my office today and he was troubled about the Sabbath. He said, I can't get it straight." And incidentally, he was a fundamentalist. He's been in the fundamental churches all of his life. And yet they could trouble him with the Sabbath. He's got a nephew that recently joined the Seventh-day Adventists. And he said, "Now, frankly, Brother Hill, I don't know who's right." Well, I just took him to Colossians. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a Sabbath day or a holy day or a new moon, for these are but a shadow. The substance is Christ." You see, Christ is my Sabbath. I don't love him on a Sunday more than I do on a Monday. What's the matter with you? I love him every day. Sunday don't mean any more to me other than I like the blessed fact that we have that day together together. I love that. But as far as you tie me up to that day, you can't tie me to that day. I'm not worshiping a day. I'm worshiping the Creator of all days. Now, I won't get off on that sideline because... But there you are. You see, you don't want a righteousness. Paul, in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, when he spoke of the coming of the Lord, and he said, well, let me go there and read that just like he said it. I'm going to read from the seventh verse. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He counted them, and then one day he suffered them. You know, there's that much difference. You know, back yonder, when you got saved, oh, you said, Lord, I'll just give up anything for you. I'm counting it all loss. But one day he started to take some of it. And, Lord, that's a different story. Now, wait a minute here. You begin to intrude on my privacy, and this is mine. How many of you indifferently take his tenth and spend it on yourself? You say, well, I can't afford to give it. You can't afford not to. Now, you better realize that. You do know by now that Brother Hill is not after your money. But I am after your welfare. I want your well-being. Why don't you learn to trust God? The children of Israel came up to the Red Sea and I imagine someone said, now what? Go on across. Why, we can't go across. Oh, yes, we can. God's with us and we can do anything. You learn that. You learn that. I hope before it's too late. But anyway, note, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now listen, I'm just as holy as God is holy. The same kind of holiness that's up there is right down here. Didn't you know that? I'm not going to add to his holiness. He gave me his all. And I'm not going to add to his righteousness. He gave me his all. And it's his righteousness that works out in us. Not day keeping and meat keeping and the length of skirts, and I've often said, and I say it again, I think women ought to be modest, and they ought to do things that are pleasing and that are not tempting. But at the same time, you're no better. You remember the night, and I never seen it, and I told you. Young woman came in here. Sunday night, went up in the choir. She walked down the pulpit, and I almost lost my false teeth. She had on shorts. And there was a time that I'd have called her down right there, and I said, now, young lady, you go home and dress appropriately and come back. She might never have got back, but the Lord saved her and filled her with the Holy Ghost right there that night. You better stop trying to mess with God. What would you do if you went over in the green hell of South America and found those savages running around as naked as the day they were born. Would you say, now listen, you people, dress appropriately before I preach what I've got to preach to you. You give them the gospel. The gospel is what made me what I am, and it's what made you what you are. I am what I am by the grace of God. And unto her was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. I'm going to stop there. And I'll finish this, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. I just about reached half of it, and that's it. Sister back here. When she comes, I stop every time when it starts getting interesting. God love her. I'll tell the rest of it if the Lord tarries next Wednesday night, and if he don't tarry, you're going to see what I've said come to pass. Shall we stand?